Today is Saturday, the 21st of October, 2023, and we are here gathered here for the 104th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Bante Homagamu Dhamma Kusula Thero, representing Nisaranavane Forest Monastery, joining into today's session to provide us with much needed insight on our journey towards mindfulness practice and advancement. On behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Venerable Bante to today's session. Furthermore, I would like to welcome all of you who are joining through the Zoom session as well as the live stream over Facebook. Our agenda runs up with a commencement on in-session practice guided by Venerable Bante, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness based on the topic of bereavement for today. And then we will have the question and answer session where we will present the written and verbal questions or statements on your own practices to Bante for advice and guidance by Bante. And then we will wrap up the program for today. So with that in mind, I would like to invite Venerable Bante to commence with the in-session practice for today's session. Over to Bante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everyone. So today, to start our program, let's try and do some sitting practice, mindful sitting practice. We'll take some time to do. So today, we are going to focus on our breathing. We'll try a breathing technique and see whether it can be helpful to practice mindfulness. So try to sit comfortably. Once you are comfortable in your seat, you may close your eyes. Just pay attention on the breathing. If it helps, you can put your palm on the belly so you would easily feel the rise and fall of your stomach. Let's take a deep breath in while noticing the breath. And let it out while noticing the breath. Again, take another breath in. Slowly let it out. Again, another breath in. Let it out. Now allow the breathing to happen naturally and try to notice this natural breath. Sometimes it may become forceful, but that's all right. Again and again, you can allow the natural breathing to happen. Time to time, other things might appear, like sounds, thoughts, various memories. Allow them to pass naturally while bringing your attention back to the breathing. Again, you can feel the breath goes in and it comes out. Let's try to notice our breath for a few more minutes like this. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. So that's few minutes of mindful breathing just to give you an idea about the practice. With that, Namantha, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much thanks to Bhante. Next, we have the talk on mindfulness based on loss or bereavement. I would like to invite Bhante to commence with the talk scheduled for today's session. Over to Bhante again. Much thanks to you.
Okay, everyone. So we'll take some time to discuss this new topic that we are having. For this, let me take an approach like this. Now, when you live your life, you may have various close family members, then close friends, maybe somebody with very close attachments. So this way, we have various people in our lives. We have family, friends, we are connected to them. We spend time with them. It's pleasurable for us. Spending time with them, we prefer, we like it. We enjoy that time very much. So this is how we usually live our life. Although these relationships, they give us pleasure, time to time, we may find some hardships with these relationships. Sometimes these relationships, they cause us pain and suffering, right? So in a way, they are helping us. These relationships, they make us comfortable. But time to time, due to them, due to the behavior of other people, maybe due to an illness, maybe due to a death, we feel that we are suffering very much. Especially these type of relationships, they bring us extreme levels of suffering. Not just day-to-day difficulties, not just friction in your mind, but extreme levels of suffering these relationships bring. Let's say if you are having a romantic relationship with somebody, then of course initially you feel this pleasure, you feel this high in your mind. Every moment spent with them, it's pleasurable. You feel this high in you, right? But these type of relationships are also extremely needy forms of clinging. They are extremely needy forms of clinging. And maybe one day you realize that they bring you a lot of suffering. You start suffering maybe because other person has changed. Maybe because they get an illness. Maybe because they pass away. So these things happen. And when they happen, you feel you are at hell. You feel so much grief in you. You feel that you are overwhelmed with sorrow. So this is how we feel about the losses that we face, especially when it comes to the relationships with other people. Let it be a romantic relationship. Let it be a family member. Let it be a close friend. You feel these extreme levels of suffering in you when you face losses with these relationships. Now let me share one of the stories from a counselor, and he got this CEO as a client, right? So he's a CEO of a company, and this client, he's having panic attacks. Time to time, due to various causes, this person is having panic attacks. So during their discussion, this CEO was questioned, and he's saying that he's doing his work. is managing his work. These panic attacks, they started about 6 months ago, right? So then the natural question was followed, what happened 6 months ago? Then this person shared that his brother passed away 6 months ago. So due to this, he started having panic attacks. He's a workaholic, he's doing his thing, but time to time, he feels that he's having trouble managing day-to-day things. He's having trouble with the panic attacks. So this is how we get the suffering in a totally different way due to these relationships. You had a brother, he had a brother, and he passed away. And due to that, he's having trouble functioning. So the natural questioning was done, and he was asked whether he mourned his brother's loss. Turns out that he used the work to avoid that grief. As a way of denial, he used his work and was functioning with his work, right? But he didn't get a chance to mourn his brother's loss. And you can see it is natural that people want to escape these type of situations. It's natural that they deny these incidents and they go on doing their thing, maybe doing work and getting busy in the family matters. That way they are functioning. Especially there's this idea in the society that we shouldn't be mourning anybody's losses. We shouldn't be crying. We shouldn't be grieving anybody's losses, right? So this idea is there in the society. Maybe due to the societal pressure, maybe because he was a man, he escaped mourning his brother's loss. He escaped this grief in him and somehow found work to keep himself busy. So this way he was functioning, but after some time, he started getting these panic attacks. So you can see when it comes to losses, as relationships, maybe due to an illness, you start suffering. Maybe one of the close friends or a family member, they face with an illness. Maybe they pass away, right? So loss and bereavement is there. And usually we don't like to deal with these emotions. Usually avoidance is the way. And the society tells us, if you are strong, you shouldn't be crying. If you are strong, you shouldn't be mourning, right? So this is how the society teaches us. But in a way, we can learn from animals, right? Elephants. It is said that the elephants mourn their losses openly, right? They cry, they express their sorrow, and after some time, they move on, right? So this is something we can learn even from elephants, such magnificent creatures, and they mourn their losses openly. So in a way, when such things happen, we have to tell people that it is okay to be sad. It is okay to cry. It is okay to express your grief openly, right? If you keep avoiding them, then it's natural that you start getting various other symptoms. Things like panic attacks, things like trauma, things like anxiety, depression. So various forms are there various forms of mental diseases might come because we are in denial, because we are avoiding the grief that we have. So in this new world, anxiety and depression, that's the number one disability in this world, right? Many people, they can't function due to the depression, anxiety they have. It becomes the number one disability in this new age. So you can see how majority of people, they tend to avoid grieving, they avoid the losses, they avoid the bereavement that they have to face, right? So in a way, when we are practicing mindfulness, most people, they don't like mindfulness, because when you start practicing, when you are awake, all the things you feel, they might not be pleasurable. Sometimes you start to feel this grief within you. Sometimes you start to feel that there is this grief manifesting as a physical sensation even. Right? These things are stuck in your mind and body. And if you are awake, if you pay attention to the present moment, you start to see that they manifest as physical sensations, physical feelings. So you start to feel pain in your body. You start to feel like crying. You start to feel sorrowful. So these symptoms appear. That's why most people, they don't like mindfulness, because when you are awake, not everything you see or feel is pleasant. You don't feel like dealing with them. But avoidance, it won't work. Denial, it won't work. You can only do it for so long. Then the reality will hit you. And when it hits hard. Right? So in a way, when we are mindful, we are dealing with the reality. That's why paying attention to your breath is important. You are bringing your attention to the reality. You are bringing your attention to the present moment. Rumi, he has this very nice quote about paying attention to the present moment. He's saying, past and future, it veils you from God. So if you want to get closer to God, you have to bring your attention to the present. Right? Past and future, it veils you from God. So you have to bring your attention to the present moment and get closer to God. So in a way, when we are paying attention to our breath, we are bringing our attention to the present moment. In a way, we are getting closer to the God or the reality or this universal force that we are experiencing. So this way, you bring your attention to the present moment. Noticing your breath is a very good way to be present. Again and again, you feel your breath. Not all the time, once in a while, every now and then, you just take a moment to notice your breathing. And when you do it, when you continue with it for a while, you start to see that your mental health become much stronger. Various breathing techniques are there. If you feel like doing them, they can be helpful. Even today we practiced one, keeping your hand on the belly and simply noticing the belly movement. When the breath goes in, the hand moves forward. When the breath goes out, hand moves backward. Even lying on a bed, you can do this. So this way, you pay attention to the breathing, notice the breathing, again and again, bring your attention to the present moment. So this way, you can use breath as a tool to be present, a tool to be mindful. Time to time, you bring your attention to the breathing and notice how the breath is happening. You don't always have to force your breath. Allow the natural breathing to happen while noticing it, while feeling it. So that way, when you practice for a while, then you start to realize sometimes there is pain in your body. You don't know what is the reason or the cause of this pain, but it is there. So these may be signs of physical pain that appears in your body. So you have to understand, sometimes our emotional baggage, they appear in as a physical symptom in your body, because you can't really separate this mind and body. If your mind is ill, naturally your body is ill too. So these illnesses might appear in a physical form. So that's why when you meditate, you feel this pain in your body. You don't know a reason, you don't know a cause for this pain, but it is there. It is there. So as soon as you sit for meditation, it appears. Then it changes itself. Right? This way, it is there. You have to somehow accept it, acknowledge it, and continue with your mindfulness. So this way, you have to deal with them sometimes. Sometimes you feel that emotional pain or the suffering appears. You feel like crying in your mind. You don't know what's the reason for it. You can't feel a cause for it, but you feel like crying. You feel this grief within you. So these things are natural for a meditator. In a way, they are releasing their past trauma. They are releasing their past grief. Even without conscious awareness, there could be grief hidden in your mind. There could be grief hidden in your body. So when you pay attention to the breathing, naturally these things get released. These things come out. So it's okay to feel them. It's okay to be with them. It's okay to accept them. So that way you have to continue with your practice. Again and again, you are continuing with your practice as mindful sitting and mindful walking. Especially walking practice is very good. Walking practice is, in a way, it's more like a dynamic practice. In a way, it is helping to exercise your body. In a way, it is helping to helping with the mindfulness. So it has many benefits. So if you can walk for some time in a calm manner, you are walking while noticing that the walking body is there, while feeling the sensations at your feet, you are walking. So these two can really help with these things, with these emotional baggages. Especially since the body is moving during the walking practice, it is very much helpful. So this way, you have to continue with your practice. When you continue for some time, you start to feel that your mind becomes more and more healthier. Maybe you feel less and less levels of anxiety in you. You feel that you can function much better. You can deal with day-to-day difficulties much better. So this way, you feel the improvements. You are noticing how the mindfulness or this breathwork is helping you to heal yourself. Even the person I did mention earlier, after a few weeks of practice, maybe 3-4 weeks of practice, these panic attacks, they completely went away. No more panic attacks because of the meditation practice, because of bringing your attention to the present moment. When you bring your attention to the present moment, it might not always be pleasant, but you have to understand it is okay to feel this grief in you. It is okay to feel these emotions. It is okay to feel these thoughts. This way, you are improving your capability or the strength of your mind. In a way, you are facing these difficulties little by little. You are facing these emotions little by little. You are facing these thoughts little by little. Initially, they might be difficult to deal with, but with time, you develop the strength to deal with these thoughts, emotions, and losses. So that way, you are healing yourself. It just needs few weeks of practice. When you continue for a few weeks, then you can see the results for yourself. Even I remember this person, maybe a year back, he came here as a meditator and wanted to stay meditating probably like for a few months. He stayed, right? Initially he came, he was having trouble even functioning. He can't even talk to people, right? So various difficulties he had because of some past trauma, maybe because of some losses he had in his life. So initially he had a lot of trouble, when he continued with this walking and sitting practice, when he continued with his mindfulness practice, he became much better. After some time, he started feeling much better, and you could even see him. From the outside, you can see how better this person is dealing with people now, how better this person is functioning now. So these things are improvements due to the meditation. When you continue for some time, you start to feel how the practice is helping you. So that way, you have to continue with your practice. Even when you continue for a few weeks, you start to see the results. You start to feel how comfortable you are in your mind and body, how comfortable you are dealing with your day-to-day difficulties, how comfortable you are handling your work. So these are the results that you get due to the repetitive practice. In a way, you are gradually developing it. There's no hurry. There's no rush. Gradually, you are improving your practice. Gradually, you are spending some time doing this practice. So this way, you have to continue. When you continue like that, when you improve your practice, even you can help somebody else. You can help them with their losses. You can help them how to deal with the grief that they are having. Right, let's say somebody, a friend or a person that you know, is suffering with a loss in their life. So what can you tell them? Don't try to cheer them up with something. That's not the way. Instead, you can tell them it feels like hell for a while. Right, for a while it may feels like hell. You may feel the grief in you. You may feel the loss in you, but it's okay to feel. It's okay to mourn the losses, and you can just be there for them, right? Maybe a few days, few weeks, you be there for them and you help them to cry or to mourn their loss. That way, if you continue, then realize after a while, it gets better. After a while, it goes away. Right? what you can do is that you can be there for them, tell them, although it is hurtful now, it will get better. And it is okay to cry, it is okay to mourn, right? So that way, you have to support them. You can support them because you know how to deal with your own grief. You know how to face your own losses. You know the meditation. With the support of meditation, you have dealt with your own losses. Maybe they are in the past, maybe 10, 15 years ago. But still, if there is trauma hidden in your meditation, you may feel them. Sometimes you remember the very incident. Sometimes you feel like you are reliving that very incident. When you relive that incident, you feel the pain. You feel the difficulty. But with the support of the practice, with repetitive practice, you develop the ability to accept those incidents. You develop the ability to accept this pain. When you accept it, you realize it's the very step, very first step of the healing process. You start to heal yourself because you have accepted this loss, because you have accepted this pain in you. So when you know how to deal with your own losses, you can support the other people as well. You can tell them it is okay to cry, it is okay to mourn your losses. And although it feels bad, although it hurts right now, it'll get better. It'll get better, and after a while, it may go away. So this is the assurance you can tell them. Tell them it's okay to cry. Tell them it's okay to mourn their losses. Tell them it's okay to express them, right? Like elephants, it's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn, right? With time, you realize you feel better. I heard this story about Roman Empire or something, and it is said that when the husband died, the widow is allowed to cry for 10 days. That's their ruling. In their government, they have this allowance. They can cry. They can express for 10 days. Right? It is allowed. Then after 10 days, they have to let go. They have to let go. So they cry for 10 days and they forget about it. So that might be some guideline even for us. It is okay to feel these things. It is okay to feel grief. It is okay to feel loss. It is okay to cry. It is okay to express them. Then with time, you feel much better. With time, you let go of these difficulties. So that way, we too have to deal with our losses. We too have to develop that ability, capacity. And if you have that ability, if you have that capacity, then you can even help somebody else. You can even support them. You can even be there for them. So that's the idea we discussed today. This is the starting week. Maybe next week also we'll have some discussion regarding the same topic. So for today, this is the idea I want to give. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much thanks to Bhante. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence this part of the program. I will share the screen for the beginner's introduction slide.
Thank you, Namantha. Thank you, Bhante. Before we start the reports and the questions, we will first share with you this guide that Nisaranamaniya has produced for just for us to get to know about walking meditation and sitting meditation. There are two videos. If there's any beginners, watch those two videos. That will give you an insight into how to do walking and sitting meditation. Once you've watched it, set aside some time, start practicing. As Bhante said today, start and keep practicing. It will help you. It will benefit you. Start with any amount of time and build your way up to at least an hour a day. Once you have done it, please send us your reports. We will present it to Bhante and get his feedback. And how you can send the reports to us is via the Google form or via email, which is beginnersnv@gmail.com. We have shared all of this information in the chat section now. You can save these or always ask us, any of us, and we will be able to help you. So once you have sent it to us, we will present it to Bhante every week, and he will give you some guidance on it. And your reports are helpful for all of us, because most of us sometimes decide in our heads, we do write reports, but never really end up sending it. So the ones who actually do send it, help all of us. So I will move on with that to the report today. We haven't received any reports via the Google form. We've only received one report via email. It is a very detailed, nice report, so I will start with that now. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position. Tightness around scalp and shoulders noted with initial body scan, and both these relaxed soon. Seated body came into focus next, and breath noted afterwards around nostrils. It was prominent at the beginning. Long and short breath noted. Many thoughts arose based on immediate future and associated anxieties. Simply allowed thoughts and anxiety to be. Breath felt again. Attention alternated between breath and thoughts and emotions. There was no fight to get rid of thoughts or emotions, as have own experience of things arising and passing away. Although mental landscape was busy, gradually there was acceptance of this. Sense of relief, peace, experienced next. Sat for 45 minutes. Afterwards, realized that volume of the busy mind had gradually turned down, and peace was infused in the mind towards latter part of the session. Mindful walking. Walked indoors with socks on. Naturally, the attention moved to feet movement, such as lifting, moving, placing of each foot. Also noted the shifting of body weight, touch of clothing near ankles, warmth of the sole pressing down on cold, hard surface of the floor, movement of cool air when lifting of the foot. Sometimes the creaking of wooden floor heard. At times, streams of thoughts about immediate future took up the focus. Awareness would return to feet movement afterwards. The flow of different things at different moments observed, without liking or disliking much of it. Walked for 25 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Events from last week became a testing ground for becoming mindful or losing it. Dad passed away a year ago and chose to have the almsgiving to Mahasangha at home this weekend in his memory. By early last week, waves of agitation and anxiety arose due to the amount of organizing needed due to also working until Friday evening. Even this was manageable compared to different people giving opposing advice about what should or shouldn't happen and in what order. Restlessness in mind gradually built while trying to figure out how to go in 10 different directions at the same time based on conflicting advice, and keep the work week ticking and also keep the organizing continuing. The foolishness of this all is quite clear now, but at the time, the reality was blinded by confusion and the fear of chaos, which was uppermost in the mind. At the end of Monday, not seeing a way out, chose to simply sit on the cushion, not as formal meditation, but as a way of just letting things be. However, having sat for 45 minutes and observing the following, tension in the body and that easing, streams of thoughts arising and passing, sensations in and out breath, concern associated with thoughts of immediate future, attention moving to breath again. In short, choosing to sit and experience and um, whilst adding, and flux of mind, body for 45 minutes, a sense of peace arose. It was such a test, as part of the mind was saying, we don't have time to sit. There's so much to do and so little time to do it. But another part of the mind was offering conditions just to sit. A sense of calmness and peace continued into the evening. Mind felt spacious, and following day, and choose to take few days off from work for the rest of the week to prepare for the almsgiving in a timely manner. Spoke to a Dhamma friend about managing opposing advice and noted confidence in the mind that things will turn out however they should. And if it didn't go as planned, then those unexpected things will also be managed with a collective effort. Even while writing this report, habitual urges are there to get on with doing other important things. Also noticing the calm aspect of the mind, whispering and completing the report is also an important thing. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. That's the end of report, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience with us. Now, let me start with the initial part. Now, when you pay attention, you notice that the breath is long, the breath is short, right? So, various changes you start to notice in the breath. So, when you notice the breathing, when you notice these changes, it is your mind that is changing. You feel like your breath is changing, but breath is an indicator of your mind. So when you start noticing how the breath is changing, you are starting to notice how your mind is changing. Your mind is changing due to the practice. And that very change, it's mentioned in your report. You feel like that the volume is turned down of the mind. It is gradually turned down, right? More and more levels of peace arising in your mind. So this is how the practice will change how you experience the world. Now, this may be like 45 minutes of sitting. During the 45 minutes of sitting, this is happening. But with repetitive practice, this much more peaceful state become more and more familiar to your mind. It becomes more and more your reality. Maybe with months and years of practice, right? But even in a single sitting, you can feel how the mind is changing, how the way you are experiencing the world is changing. Initially, you feel like you are in this so crowded, noisy place. But with 30, 40 minutes of practice, you feel now you are in a much more peaceful state. Now the volume is turned down. So this is a very valuable observation. It's happening within a one sitting session. But when you continue with your practice, this same change will happen in your day-to-day life as well. Right? So that's the latter part. That's what you are mentioning. Right? Now, you have so many things to do. You have work. You have to plan this dana. So many people are giving advice. So a lot of issues are there. So you can see in your own mind, it's more like a split mind. One part is saying, these things are urgent, these things are important, we have to do this, we have to do that. So noisy. Then the other part is saying, although these things are there, it's changing. Although we try, this is a foolishness, right? So you can see how the split mind is there due to the practice. Now you know there's a greater truth is out there. Still you can't completely give up. Still you feel that same foolishness is thriving. But that's fine. You have to continue again and again. that one party is saying, even this is a waste of time, meditation is a waste of time. Then the other party is saying, you need this. You need this peace, you need this comfort in your mind. Then one party is saying, wasting time writing the report, there's no need to write in so much detail, just rush through it. Then the other party is saying, this is important, it's okay to take time for this, right? So in a way, that worldly part and the noble part still fighting. There's this red Indian story there, it says, red wolf and a blue wolf. Red one is the bad one, assigned all those negative qualities. Blue one is the good one with all the positive qualities. So this is how the mind is. Now, due to the strength of the mindfulness, you are starting to notice this behavior. You know that this is a foolishness, but still you get caught in it. That's the irony in our mind. Although you know, you haven't experienced it properly. So you are thinking, deductive knowledge, thinking knowledge will tell you that this is a foolishness. But still, you are lost in it. You get carried away. But it's okay. That's what I want to mention. It's okay to feel this. It's okay to be torn apart by this type of behaviors. You have to continue again and again. When you continue, the other part, the good part, the positive part, it becomes stronger and stronger. That silent become more prominent than the noises. For a worldly person, he only notices the voices or the noises, right? But for a meditator, they start to notice the silence in between. They start to notice the fabric that these noises appear. So that's the difference. There's no difference in the experience. It's the same experience. Instead of noticing the noises, now you are noticing the silence in the background. So that's the trained mind. That's the meditator's mind. So in your report, you can see those two parts. Those two parts. That chaos is there in one side. The peace is there in the other side. Again and again, you know that sometimes the chaos or the foolishness, it wins. Sometimes the other side wins. You have to continue with this practice. You have to continue with this way. And all the people who are giving those advices, they have no idea that they are caught in their own thinking. They have no idea that they are a slave to their own mind. They talk with this noisy mind. They talk with this crowded mind. And they are giving advices to other people, right? So as a meditator, when your confidence grows, you may listen to all the advices, right? You are carefully listening. It appears that you are carefully listening, right? You are listening to all the advices, but doing a totally different thing. Doing something that suits you. Doing something that should be done. So in a way, people start to realize, although this person is listening, although this person seems to be listening, he is not doing what we say, right? So that's the proper way. When your confidence grows, you know what to do, you know what not to do, right? You may listen to other people, but still, there's not, you don't have to promise to do them, because they are contradicting advices. Right, conflicting advices. One person is saying this, other person is saying something totally opposite. That's how the mind works. That's how the world works. So if you start listening to everybody, then there's no peace for you. There's no escape for you. Instead, when your confidence is growing, when your practice is growing, you know what to do. you know what to do. You may be listening to other people. You may be picking valuable points, but still doing your own thing, still doing what feels comfortable to you. So that way, you have to mature in this practice. This is the same process. Don't think that there is some magical process. No, this very struggle is the process of maturing in the practice. You have to continue with this very struggle. And when you continue, you realize your confidence is growing. Your strength is growing. That peaceful part is growing. Instead of the crowded, instead of the noisy, you start to feel the other part that is growing, right? So that's the way. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. I hope that the guidance was good for you, the report writer. We don't have any more reports received today. So it's time that we open it out to any questions. If anyone has questions, please raise your Zoom hand. I will let you unmute yourself, or you could write it in the chat section or let us know so we can read it out. Don't seem to have any hands raised. Unusually early today. There are no questions. Now, Mantha, what do you suggest that we do? We are a little bit early today.
Yes, I think, if we don't have any verbal questions, we can end the session now. All right. Thank you very much and much best to you, Sonali. I would like to share the accumulated merits with Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero for insightfully providing us with a lot of guidance and advice on, firstly through the talk on bereavement and then through the written report sent through to us today. I would wish that these merits will have a positive impact on Bhante's own practice and that Bhante will be able to further enhance Bhante's own advancement in this direction. Next, I would like to thank and share merits with the Chief Abbot of the Nisarnane Forest Monastery, Venerable Bhante, Most Venerable Bhante Udayiragam Dhammajiva Mahatheru, for requesting this program to be realized. And then I would also like to share merits with all the wonderful organizers and wish that their own practices will keep on flourishing into the future. And then I would like to share merits with all of you who are attending through Zoom and also through the live stream, and wish that your own practices will have a positive impact based on these merits. Now, the program will run again next week at the same time on Saturday, and I would like to encourage all of you to start sending reports, maybe not every week, but whenever you do some practice, and then we will have more reports, and anything in written format will allow you to also recall and enhance our relive through the experience of practicing when you write a report. So please send more reports, and these will impact you positively while you write them and also while Bhante is advising you. So please do that, and I hope that you will all have a mindful and happy week ahead, and you will be able to experience the benefits of practicing this way by focusing on mindfulness the way that we teach in this program. So we will meet you next week again, and I will end the Zoom session. Thank you, and have a great week ahead.